Bang, bang. What's up, everyone? Lunch money time. Well, while she's trying to get rich, the rest of us just trying to get our lunch money right. I'm here with the beautiful, intelligent Polina Pompliano. Whoop, whoop.
Pee-pee.
She's got the...
Not pimp. Pee-pee.
You don't have shoulder pads on, but you have the old school. It looks like you should be riding in a carriage behind a truck before the cowboys come and try to steal all your wealth.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Yeah, in the olden days in the 1800s when they wore those little things on their jacket inside the carriage. It was only the rich people who did it. Don't worry. Speaking of rich, get money, get paid. BlockFi is now a sponsor of Lunch Money. Go and get an interest-bearing account where you can earn up to 8.6% APY. It is awesome. Awesome. Not awesome. Awesome.
Okay.
You can do that at BlockFi.com/lunchmoney. I'm an investor and a very, very happy user every first Monday of the month. You just get money deposited from the interest payments. It's so cool. You open your email, bam, more money. Awesome. Let's do it. BlockFi.com/lunchmoney. Whoo.
Are you good?
I'm good.
Are you ready to knock this out?
Only took 65 seconds.
All right. Beirut. At least 100 people were killed and more than 4,000 injured following a massive explosion that rocked the port area of the Lebanese capital of Beirut. The cause of the original fire was not immediately known. However, multiple video angles showed an enormous mushroom cloud blast that flattened a number of surrounding buildings. And the explosion comes as the country finds itself amid a spiraling economic and political crisis driven by widespread corruption and fiscal mismanagement. Public protests drove out former Prime Minister Saad Hariri in recent months. So can I give you my take?
I would love your take. This is very sad.
I know. And my take is that people think that the world can just freeze in the middle of the COVID pandemic. But what we have to remember is that there's still a lot of political, you know, unrest, and there's tropical storms, and the world continues, and we're going to kind of have to figure it out how to navigate this stuff, even in the midst of a pandemic.
Well, and on top of that, I think that you've got a situation where a lot of people have died. There's thousands injured. So just that alone, like, I don't care what the cause is. Your thoughts and kind of your heart and everything goes out to these people, and you just hope that people generally are okay, right? And obviously with 30, 40 people dead, they're not going to be okay. And that affects not only those people, but it affects their families, their friends, their communities, all this kind of stuff. And then you get into the, like, why did this happen? And I've seen everything from more of the, like, hey, was this an attack types talk track to, oh, this was just a fireworks facility. I have no clue what happened. There seems to be multiple explosions, which is a little bit weird. And so what you really just go back to is, like, we're all human. We're all going to die one day. And while we're here on Earth, we should spend as much time as possible peacefully. And if we can't do that, then that's just really sad. And so, regardless of what's happened here, I think that this is just a reminder that, as Polina said, the world keeps spinning, but also the world's better off when we all get along rather than fight. So, yeah, I hate this stuff, man. All right, what's up with the Isaias?
So Isaias is the name of the tropical storm that's whipping up eastern U.S.
You know why it's so bad?
What's
because it's mad that it's got a dumb name. It's like, oh, y'all want to name me Isaias? All right, I'm coming.
Well, another sad piece of news. At least 6 people were killed as the tropical storm spawned tornadoes and dumped rain Tuesday. There's a number of floods, fires. People are without power. It's Isaias sustained top winds of up to 65 miles an hour. Per hour, more than 18 hours after coming ashore, and it's still going. So, and I read a newsletter today. Fortune's CEO wrote. He said, "Yeah." So it's interesting because how do you practice social distancing as you evacuate people? Like, it's just all these things that we have to think about.
Yeah. The only thing I will caveat with is, like, we had tens of thousands of people in the street protesting, and they're claiming that that had nothing to do with contributing to the rise in coronavirus cases. And supposedly what they're saying is, oh, people had masks on and they were outside. So if you're evacuating, right, you're likely to be outside if you have a mask on. You're not outside, then you're probably in a car, but you're not, it's not like you're in a car with, you know, 50 other people. It's probably your family that you're in your house with. So
we'll see.
Yes, there is definitely some things. Now, if all of a sudden you've got like, I'm going to get this wrong, but like, I'll call them refugee centers. So like everyone's going into a gymnasium or something like that. Then of course there's going to be concerns, with how you can do stuff.
But my point is just because there's a global pandemic doesn't mean, the world stops going.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It was raining hard here yesterday. I thought the thing had shown up, but I guess that wasn't even part of it. So, all right, what's going on with school closures?
So basically the new school year is around the corner. You know, if schools don't reopen, there's a lot of parents who are at risk to stop working entirely because they have no childcare. So nearly a third of pre-pandemic U.S. labor force has kids at home, and about 15% of the workforce falls into at least two of those three risk categories, which are single parents and parents with young children.
It's crazy to me how little I understood about the importance of school, not on the daycare, on the educational impact. So like, it was obvious, okay, cool, we're supposed to send kids to school to get educated. But when you really start to understand things like the impact school provides and the opportunity it provides for parents to go to work, right? Because then they don't have to leave their kids at home, they can send them to school. You look at how many kids in the United States count on that meal at school as a core piece of their diet, right? Yeah. Like you just, when you think of school, I think before these types of situations, you just think of it as on the education front, but there's a lot of elements that go into it. And then on top of that, you then start to think about like all of the people that a school employs. So you have the teachers, obviously, then you've got the administrative staff, then you've got the janitorial staff, then you've got all the support systems in place. And then there's businesses impacted by, like, just when you shut down a school, the ripple of impact across people and businesses is incredible.
I don't know why I always think of this, but I watched a documentary and it featured this family, basically that the opioid pandemic is ravaging a lot of states. And this little girl, both of her parents, one of them was in prison and the other one was addicted to opioids. So her going to school was literally the most stable part of her day. And she enjoyed going to school because it allowed her to leave that house. So I think about people like that. Like, not everybody has a stable home. Not everybody has that type of caring educational environment. And so it's just, I'm really sad about it. And I just don't know.
It's the world we live in. It's not good. All right, what's going on? Oh, speaking of not good, what's up with Anthony Lewandowski?
Anthony Lewandowski. Do you remember who he was?
I know who Anthony Lewandowski is. I take no credit, even though we shared the same first name. This Anthony's in trouble.
He's the former Google engineer and serial entrepreneur who was at the center of a lawsuit between Uber and Waymo, has been sentenced to 18 months on one count of stealing trade secrets.
Absolutely insane.
Wow.
And I didn't realize that he potentially was going to go to jail. I thought that he would just get massive financial situation, but he had to file bankruptcy because there's a very big judgment against like $125 million. And then on top of that, now he's going to jail. And he, I don't know if you saw, countersued, or not, maybe not countersued, but sued Uber.
But that was a while ago, right?
No, a new one, I think in the last couple of days, for over $4 billion.
Wow.
And so like this whole thing is just crazy. It involves a Google engineer who left.
Steal trade secrets.
Yeah, he took files with him when he left Google. He set up a company, but that company was set up with the understanding that Uber was going to acquire it. Uber ended up acquiring it. Like all this crazy stuff happened. And you end up with a guy now going to jail for 18 months. It's pretty sad, frankly.
The New York Times. So I was recently reading a paper I wrote in college about how I sounded like a dinosaur. I was like, well, newspapers are stuck in this really hard situation where, you know, they rely on the majority of their revenue coming from print, where they have to move on to cyberspace, but they can't move to cyberspace because they're tied to this print ad revenue. So today, digital revenue for the New York Times exceeded its print revenue for the first time in history. And if you're in media, you know this is a big ass deal.
Why?
This has never happened before. This, like, digital advertising is one small portion of what you get in print, but their subscription revenue has been really strong. So
yeah, but the Times total revenue decreased by 7.5% to $403 million. So they're actually down on the year. And the ad revenue to fall between 50 and 55%. The ad revenue fell between 50 and 55% because there's lower demand. And on top of that, advertising revenue was the hardest hit, falling by 43%, which they thought was going to be 50, 55%. So it was better than they thought, but they still fell 43%. And so the revenue ended up falling 7.5%. The craziest part to me is not that digital revenue now surpasses other revenue. It's the fact that why hadn't this happened 5 years ago? Because the internet's been around forever.
I know.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. Like coming from the internet's perspective of the world, the fact that people are still advertising in newspapers.
Well, the fact that I wrote that paper in 2010.
And so they expect the third quarter revenue, the ad revenue in the Q3 to decline about 35 to 40% compared to a year ago. It's just, they're going to get decimated if you're still an ad-based business, especially if people are just paying for the newspapers.
Especially. But I know, it's just, they're stuck in a hard place because this is, I mean, literally newspapers should have done this back in 2010 when I wrote my paper. But the problem is they were tied to that revenue and they couldn't get out. So now it's like, this is the time. If you can't get online, if you can't figure it out, figure out subscriptions, paywalls, whatever you have to do. If you can't figure how to make money online, you're screwed.
So I feel like everything we're talking about today is sad. All right, what's up with Waka Rasaya Sia? Is that how you pronounce it?
I don't know, but
Waka Rasaya Sia.
Okay, so this is crazy. Are you ready?
Is that how you pronounce it? Waka Rasaya Sia.
So this is happening in Japan. Basically, if you want a divorce, there are these agents. You know how here in America, you're like, you hire a private investigator to find out if somebody's cheating? But there, if you want a divorce, you have to be able to show proof and evidence and photos, and you have to be able to kind of have both people agree. It's really hard if one person doesn't want to get divorced. So they hire someone to go seduce the partner and have them fall in love. So then they can take pictures and show the court, look, like, she's fallen in love with another man. I got to get divorced. And it avoids confrontation.
Yo, I'm down for a Waka Rasaya Sia or whatever.
What?
That's funny as hell.
So
are you kidding me?
It's a crazy big
industry. Is a real thing?
It's a huge industry. So basically it helps you avoid confrontation. It's a way in the short term of resolving a difficult situation without conflict. And your wife is much more likely to agree to a divorce if she's in love with someone else and wants to move on.
The fees range from like 3,000 pounds to 145,000 pounds. Can you imagine hitting somebody with, hey man, all right, I need you to go seduce my wife. And I'm going to pay you thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then I'm going to turn around and in the divorce, give her 50% too. I was like, man, that's an expensive ass decision there, dude.
Well, but it's just, it makes it easier to get divorced, especially when one spouse won't agree. But if they're in love with someone else, imagine finding out that person's a licensed Waka Rasaya.
Well, what happens when they realize that they're catfished? They were like, oh, I thought I was in love. I got divorced. And then this guy's like, oh, sorry. My term here is up. My contract is up. So I'm going to see you later.
And so because
do you think that they have sex with the...
Okay, we don't have to get into all that.
That's a legitimate question. Is that part of the contract?
Hold on. But because there was a situation early on with a Waka Rasaya who really fell in love with the person they were supposed to only be seducing, but then something happened and he killed her. So now... I know, it's just a crazy story. So now you have to be licensed and you have to prove that you're a professional and all that. It's a very legitimized now.
So you're a professional scumbag. Got it.
No. Would you ever pay somebody to like seduce me?
Nah. Would you pay someone to seduce me?
No.
People probably would do it for free.
All right. Okay. So are you ready for my joke?
Yeah. What joke you got for me? I'm still thinking about if somebody would seduce me for free. Go ahead.
What you gonna do for free?
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. All right, go. Just tell the joke.
We're about to have such a long conversation after this.
Go see my Waka Rasaya.
Cancel all your meetings. Okay. what do you call an argument between two electric companies?
A lightning rod.
A power struggle.
I mean, that's a clever one. It's not funny, but it's clever.
I thought it was really funny.
You didn't even... You thought it was so funny that it caused you to go to sleep. Okay, guys, that's it for Lunch Monday today. Don't forget, Polina comes from the 1860s in her little carriage riding down the street looking for...
Oh, you mean my little poof?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Oh, I didn't even see that. Okay.
That's like, that would be like me putting on a shirt and being like, oh, I didn't realize I had a sleeve right here. That's part of your sleeve.
That's it. I'm calling a Wakarasia.
Hey, if you're a legit one, hit me up. I'll meet you at the supermarket. All right, that's it for Lunch Money today. While Wall Street's trying to get rich, the rest of us trying to get our lunch money right. Polina, hopefully will let me live another day to see you guys tomorrow. See ya.
We'll see. Bang, bang. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Lunch Money as much as we did.
And don't forget, Lunch Money is now sponsored by BlockFi, so go check them out. There's a link in the description that you can click on. I'm an investor, a user, and a huge fan. What?
You're a bigger fan of BlockFi than you are of me?
BlockFi is my second favorite thing in the world behind Polina. They've got three products. They can give you a US dollar loan, you can earn up to 8.6% interest on an interest-bearing account, or you can buy and sell cryptocurrencies on their crypto exchange. I personally use the interest-bearing account. There's not very many places where you'll find up to 8.6% interest on a deposit in an interest-bearing account. Go do your own research. There's risk associated, but 8.6% is pretty compelling. So click on the link in the description. Say thanks to the folks at BlockFi. Subscribe to our channel. Like the video. Annoy Polina in the comments. And we'll see you guys tomorrow.
And be kind to your friends.